Wolves in Poland, Shakespeare in Japan, and the Pitfalls of Literary Translation. These are just three of the topics that came up during my brief visit to Bookworld. But there was a common thread, the theme of translation. I started with a writer who is probably the best known of the middle generation of Czech novelists, Jáchym Topol. It was Jáchym's poetry that first brought him into the literary limelight in the late 80s, and ever since he published his epic novel, Sestra, or Sister, in 1994, he has been at the forefront of the Czech literary scene. Jáchym was at Bookworld to talk about his latest novel, Chladná země, Cold Land, which is in part set in Belarus. He hates giving interviews in English, but I did manage to bully him into saying a few words. As a first question, I asked him about his recent period working as a journalist, writing articles for the weekly Respekt.
My favorite topic is the wildlife in Central Europe, because I was fascinated to find that wolves are going back to Central Europe, Poland, to Slovakia, and even to Czech Republic. And I was so happy to write about it. Well, it was my favorite time as journalist.
And so you spent time...
I hate journalism. I'm doing journalism only to get some money for my poor children, you know? And if I have time, I'm trying to write a book, a novel.
And you spent time wandering around the forests of Central and Eastern Europe looking for wolves then, did you?
Yeah, and for wolves and for ruins.
Ruins?
For the ruins of old Nazi and Soviet camps, you know? Maybe it sounds cynical, but I'm not cynical. I'm sometimes looking to find all ruins of these dead camps, and it helps my fantasy to create books about it. Of course, it's a nightmare.
Going around looking at ruins, looking at the fragments of the past, it seems to haunt you, the past, doesn't it? The past always seems to come back.
I'm obsessed by the past and I hate it. You know, this is why I hate myself, because this, you know, fascination of the past is a sort of obsession. But maybe if you are a writer, you need some obsession. You know? Sometimes I think that my favorite writer is Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe, yeah.
Yeah, teacher of obsessions. You know? Of course, I'm a very modern, globalized writer, you know, not like in the time of Edgar Allan Poe, but I think obsession is the most important source to write a book.
Jáchym Topol. I also caught up with the literary agent and translator, Edgar de Brown, who is translating Jáchym's latest novel into Dutch.
Jáchym Topol is regarded in the Netherlands, but not only in the Netherlands, as the most important Czech contemporary author. And I've translated two books by him, and I'm now working on his latest book, Chladná země. I don't know what will be the English or Dutch title yet.
And so tell me a little bit about this latest book. Jáchym didn't want to talk too much in English about his work, which I can quite understand, so if maybe you could tell me a little bit about the book.
I have called it kind of a historical, a very actual historical novel. It plays in nowadays time, but it's about history, the history of mankind. And I'm seeing this as the central message of the whole book. We shouldn't forget our history. Because maybe this wasn't his purpose by Jáchym when he wrote it, but when we see around that what's going on, the economic crisis, people getting more and more extremist, either on the left or on the right. And this is one of the main questions I see in the book, is what happened in the Second World War and after that? Can that be repeat again? And that's why we should be conscious of what has happened. We should not forget, because mankind never learns from history. So I think with passing of the time nowadays, this book will become more and more actual every day. Because if the economic crisis gets as bad as everybody thinks, we are back in the 30s, and we know what happened then.
Of course, this is a subject that many writers have written about, this question of could what happened in the Second World War happen again. What's specific or unusual about Jáchym's approach to this subject?
Jáchym's approach is that he came across things in Belarus, things that we in the West, we don't know, neither in the Czech Republic, which amazed him, and about the atrocities that happened there on such a scale. We never realized that. You won't find so much in history. We don't get thought in the Netherlands or in England or wherever what happened in Belarus in the Second World War. It's a minor note in history. but if you see what happened there. And that has fascinated him. And I think what he showed in his book is not only showing what has happened, and it's actually what has happened is much more worse than we ever have in mind, but also, you know, that he really shows Belarus is also the last dictatorial country in Europe. And he poses the question, but he illustrates it, can it happen again, with a very good facts, and makes it for the readers, because that's also in his style. He gives you very much room as a reader to think about things yourselves. He don't say you should think like this or you must do that, but he gives the room to the readers, which makes his books very attractive.
The next person I spoke to at Bookworld was Martin Hilsky, the Czech Republic's foremost Shakespeare scholar and translator. When I turned up at the stand of the publisher's Albatross, Professor Hilsky was presenting his newly published collection of literary essays, and rather surprisingly, a comic strip version of Romeo and Juliet, a potentially controversial way of treating the bard.
Well, I share the view that it is a controversial project, and I hesitated whether I should offer my translation. They wanted to use my translation, and I assented. I agreed, mainly for the reason, because when I looked at it, I think that although it does not pretend to be Shakespeare, it's only one-tenth of the text, yet, in a sense, it is a way how to get Shakespeare and Romeo and Juliet to the youngest generation, and my hope is that perhaps because of that, they might later on be interested in reading the whole text.
And this comic, it originated in Japan, didn't it?
In Tokyo, in Japan. And I'm told that there was a scholarly expertise on the choice of the quotations. You know, the quotations that are actually used are interesting from the point of view of dramaturgy, because they are really the key moments of the play. I never knew that Shakespeare could be used in this way. I understand the controversy, but I decided not to block in any way this kind of experiment. Perhaps people who don't like it won't touch it anyway.
Martin Hilsky. I also asked him about his new collection of essays devoted to English and American literature. Interestingly, many of the essays included were written during the communist era.
I was at the Faculty of Philosophy at that time, but I had no future. And in fact, I began translating and writing those essays for a very good publishing house, Odeon, it was called. And the Anglo-American office of that publishing house, the Anglo-American branch of it, was highly qualified and very good, and relatively there was the atmosphere of freedom and independent thought. And for me, writing those essays to present British and American fiction to the audiences at that time was not only a kind of literary pursuit, but I felt it was some kind of mission almost, opening the windows into a world which was completely different. Yet the book could come out, although it was not always easy. The censorship was very active in two directions, political and moral. The moral censorship was even worse, I must say.
In what sense?
That Lady Chatterley's Lover could not be published until 1988, which is really funny because at that time American fiction went far beyond Lawrence in the presentation of sexual experience. But isn't it interesting, you know, that the communist regime was very moralistic, so to say, very much concerned with the good morals, uplifting morality.
Your collection of essays includes an essay on the Beat Generation.
Yes.
Jack Kerouac and the Beat Generation. They have a huge significance, don't they, for Czechoslovakia?
Yes.
At that time, in the period between the Soviet invasion and the fall of communism.
Yeah.
How is that?
It's very interesting that in the United States, Kerouac and perhaps even Ginsberg would not be much read nowadays. They still are in this country. I think because of the theme of the road, travel, because of the association with California and the American West, and the whole cult of the bohemian way of life, also because of the nonconformism, which of course was politically different in this country, yet in America the Beats could be seen as a nonconformist movement. Certainly they were not part of the mainstream literature. So somehow they became to represent America in a way in which they do not represent America in America, you know, in the States, which is an interesting cultural shift, but there you are.
And I'll end the program with an award that will certainly never be won by Professor Hilsky. It's become a tradition for the Czech Literary Translators Guild to give an award to the worst translation of the year. To the delight of the book world audience, extracts from some truly dreadful translations into Czech were read out, including a guidebook to Paris that was so badly translated you might want to think twice before leaving home. In the end, the anti-award went to two books, the translation of Neal Stephenson's historical fantasy novel Quicksilver, and a book called Polska Praha, Polish Prague, that looks at the city's historical links with Poland and was translated into Czech from Polish. Professor Miroslav Jindra was on the panel that chose the books for the anti-award, and he told me about some of the fatal flaws in the winning translations.
A word appears there which is grandfather clock. And it was translated literally, you know, that means clock belonging to the grandfather.
And there was also a case, wasn't there, where somebody cleared their throat and it was translated literally.
Literally as, you know, cleaning up your throat, you know, I don't know with what and how you could do that, but it's very difficult translating for people who are not very good, you know, in the colloquial speech.
So basically you're not aiming to humiliate the translators or the publishers,
you're just trying to encourage people to think more about the quality of translation. Who are not very professional, you know, to discourage them, just telling them, don't do that. It's a dangerous for you.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
And so with that word of warning from Professor Miroslav Jindra, we'll end our quick journey through this year's Bookworld International Book Fair.